For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Thank you, Rhino. What an awesome book this really is. Let's start me over. Serving Team Retreat! This book, this Andrew Murray book is called With Jesus in a School of Prayer because it's all about Jesus' teachings on prayer. He goes from one passage to another. And it's one of the things I like about Murray. It's very biblically based. He's not off imagining things on his own. It's all right from the text. This one is in Matthew 7, verse 9 through 11. Oh, what man is there of you who, if your son asks him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he should ask for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So this is one of Jesus's how much more arguments, the a fortiori argument. And Jesus often brought up this concept that you think you're good parents, you think that you love your children, and you think that God doesn't love his children as much as you do. All throughout Jesus' ministry, he referred to God as Father God, our Father who's in heaven. Your Father will do this for you. And my Father, he addressed him as Father. He said that he is our Lord. That is a new teaching in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are a couple of references where God says, was I not like a father to you, Israel? But in general, people did not necessarily have this view. This is something that came with Jesus. And then it persists throughout the rest of the New Testament. The Father love of God. And that is something we have to grasp at a pretty deep level if we're going to excel in prayer. If we're going to move ahead and see our prayer reaching the levels of joy and enjoyment for us, the draw to pray more and more, it's going to be because we grasp and have revealed to us this Father love of God. Let's see what Murray says about it. He says, we look upon it as the most natural thing for a father to hear his child, for he loves all his children, the clumsiest, the dullest, the worst of his children. God loves you, not because you're clever, but because, or because you're good, but because he's your father. We need to get in at the tenderness, the helpfulness, which lie in these words, to rest upon it, your father. Speak them over to yourself until something of the wonderful truth is felt by us. It means that I'm bound to God by the closest and tenderest relationship, that I have a right to his love and his power and his blessing, such as nothing else could give me. Well, you know, I've read writing on the fatherhood of God before, and I don't know, I think some of you might have a similar problem to what I have. My relationship with my dad was pretty ambivalent. Was not close and affectionate. I'm not putting off the blame on my dad here. I think I was probably a pretty ornery and nasty kid, as a matter of fact. But whatever went wrong there, I can't analyze that. But it's left a lot of confusion for me when I think of God as my father. I really draw a blank on that. So in reading this chapter, though, I felt that I had an experience, a valid experience with God, and it's in parallel with other times that I've had with him. I don't know what it's like to really be close and to have a present, you know, strong feeling of love toward my father. But I am a father myself, and I have been one for a long time. And I do know what it's like to be a father And now, lately, to be a grandfather and to feel a depth of love with your children. Now, having children for me had an amazing effect of a heart softening of my heart when I became a father, and I started to know a love for these children that I had never known before. And the love of a child by a parent, you know, has a purity and it's just very stripped down. There are no pretensions, no need to couch anything in careful terms or anything. It is just all out there. And I couldn't believe that. And it took a little while. Even when we started having kids, I didn't get it immediately like my wife did. It took me a while before I started to have this break in upon me. And that's been a big help for me to understand, because what we're talking about here, you know, what Jesus is saying is that there is such a thing as an ideal father-child relationship. And that may not be what we had in our home, but it is what we have with God. He says the prayer of a child owes its influence entirely to the relation in which that child stands to the parent. The power of the promise, "Ask and it shall be given to you," lies in the loving relationship between us as children and the Father in heaven. Live as a child of God, he says, and then you'll be able to pray as a child. And be as a child, you'll be most assuredly be heard. As a child, you'll be heard. So our part in this is to be a child. It's the childlike life, the childlike outlook that I need to cultivate with God. The Lord does not demand of us a perfect fulfillment of the law. No. But only the childlike and wholehearted surrender to live as a child with him in obedience to the truth. Oh, the boldness with which we can draw near. Oh, the great things we can have a right to ask for. Your Father. It means that all of his infinite love and patience and wisdom bend over me to help me. Here we are to begin in the patient love of our Father. Think how he knows us apart and by ourselves and all of our peculiarities and all of our weaknesses and difficulties. Murray had 8 children. He would have us see that the secret of effectual prayer is to have the heart filled with the Father love of God. It's not enough for us to know that God is a Father. He would have us take time to come under the full impression of what that name implies. He would have us come and open our hearts for the Holy Spirit to shed abroad God's Father love there. Anyone who allows God in all the greatness of his love to be a father to him, oh, he will experience most gloriously a life in God's infinite fatherliness. Our Father who's in heaven, he that can say this has the key to all prayer. That we're not approaching a big brain in a jar. An oracle, the Wizard of Oz. We're approaching Father God. And all the compassion with which a father listens to his weak or sickly child. Yeah, when your little child is sick and feels weak, how you dote over them, how you come near to them and stroke their head and listen to what they say. In all the joy with which he hears his stammering child. Kids start to stammer often about 3 years old as they're trying to think of what to say next. And, as a father, it's cute. We help them along. We sit and listen to them as they torturously get their point out. And it's the cutest thing ever, you know. and all the gentle patience with which he bears with a thoughtless child. We expect that. They're children. And so they have been thoughtless on something, and you explain it, and you teach and bear with them. We must, as in so many mirrors, study the heart of our Father until every prayer is borne upward on the faith of this divine word. How much more shall your Father, a heavenly Father, give good gifts to them that ask him? This lesson is to our hearts one of the hardest to learn. We know so little of the love of the Father. Boy, is that ever true. I think that's very true. I think that we probably, most of us probably seriously underestimate the love that God has. Lord, show us that it is only our unchildlike distance from the Father that hinders the answer to prayer. It is Father-like love that awakens childlike trust. Oh, reveal to us the Father and his tender, pitying love that we may become childlike. This is Murray's thesis right here, this line. This is what he's saying in this chapter. It's Father-like love that awakens childlike trust. If you're having trouble trusting God, if you're feeling distant from God, you need a revelation. You need the Holy Spirit to give you an opening of the eyes of the heart, as Paul says, to grasp the length, width, and depth of the love of God. Yes, it's very hard to comprehend. That's what we have to have. And so as I was pondering this and praying through this chapter, the Lord reminded me of a couple of recent incidents with me and one of my grandchildren. And the intensity of love that I feel for this kid, and the wonderful, just warm love. And he, of course, as a child, he reflects it back. And this verse really came home to me. You know, you guys are evil, and you love your children. How much more? And it really got through to me on this particular occasion, because I was just, I know how much I love that kid. And to think that God loves me, how much more than that? I wasn't sure how to try to explain that, so I decided to try something. I don't know if this is going to work or not. But I thought I would try to show. I happened to film it. So I thought I would show you a couple minutes. And hopefully you can empathize and enter in a little bit.
Fiery chips, one after the other. That scared me. You want some more, don't you? This is a little better, isn't it? It's better for babies. Gosh.
What?
That was a great evening. I'd like to do that again. Just Bumpa hanging around with Micah, playing, talking, eating chips. And I wonder if we really can imagine Father God feeling like he would like to hang around a night with you, just like that. We see that we can do it, but we doubt that he can do it. And yet Jesus says, you guys are evil, and still you're able to love your children. What do you think it's like when God loves someone? How much more? Yeah. And that's the lesson of this passage. Murray's key statement, that it's father-like love that awakens childlike trust. If you want to see your prayer life grow, plead for this revelation of the love of God, and you will find yourself drawn to prayer all the time. It'll become the highest point of your day, every day, to just spend time in the love of that Father. And praise the Lord for that great passage from Jesus.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.